evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. We're back.
Yeah, we're back.
I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with our organic guru gardener. It's Lance Swaggart with me tonight.
Yeah, it's fun to be back.
It is. Season number 12.
Mm-hmm.
And starting out and reminding all of our listeners that we're a call-in show.
Yes.
And that's what makes it really fun for us.
It's the most fun.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So we invite you to call tonight. Adam, our producer, is in the control room ready to take your calls. 970-527-4868-866, KVNF now. And if you don't want to get on air, you can email us worm@kvnf.org. All right. We're going to get right into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with this beautiful gift basket of root vegetables that you brought in. And why don't we just talk about what is in here? Some beautiful stuff.
Well, that's a half a kohlrabi because they're huge.
Wow, that's giant.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was a cabbage when I looked at it.
Yeah,
no. It's that big.
Yeah, it's a kohlrabi.
Very juicy.
Mm-hmm.
Super juicy.
And they store really well. And then you got the half of a red cabbage.
Yes, beautiful. And your cabbage, red cabbage from last year was a little bit spicy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. Had a nice bite to it.
Yeah, that's the last of my red cabbage. I actually harvested them a little early because they are about ready to start splitting.
Oh, okay.
So they actually were harvested 2 to 3 weeks early. So they've been eaten a little bit early. And that's still in really good condition.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Love it. Love
and
the
I still
design.
Have, I think, 8 heads of green cabbage yet.
And is that... You're storing them now in the buckets of sand?
Buckets of sand.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watered them yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, so this also looks very juicy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lots of moisture in it. And as I open up this little bag here, the garlic is just wafting.
Yeah, so there's both a hard neck and a soft neck there.
Nice.
And then you have beets.
Yeah, a golden beet.
And a chioggia.
Chioggia. Is that the darker red one here?
No, that's the pink. It's the darker red one, but it's the pink and white inside.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And some carrots. What kind of the carrots are these?
I have no idea. I just mixed them. That looks like a hold it up a little bit. I suspect it's a Nantes.
Nantes. Oh, those are your specialty.
Yeah.
So all of this is coming out of your food storage pit.
Yeah.
That you'd put
Well, the onions and garlic are from... They can't be in the pit, but the cabbage are in the buckets of sand, and the carrots and beets and potatoes. There's some potatoes in there.
Yeah.
Those are all from in the pit.
These are those little fingerlings.
My potatoes crop was not that good. I have plenty, but they didn't get big.
I remember that from last year. It's all coming back to me now. And these are the German butter balls?
That's the German butter balls, and those are perfect for roasting and... And, you know, if you like to put on the side of a roast beef in the oven, you know, they have vegetables on the side there. Those would be really good.
Yes. This is a beautiful dinner or few dinners right here. And I'm just really amazed at how juicy that kohlrabi is.
Yeah.
Look at that.
It's good.
All right. So you have been eating from the food storage pit this winter.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, and I've gone in twice, and I'll get maybe next week, and I'll go in again.
And do you just take out, how much do you take out?
About 2 feet worth, which is about 2 weeks worth.
Okay.
The thing is, I've been sharing it with people.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing it with us tonight. It's gorgeous. All right. All kinds of stuff that you've worked on over the season.
Yeah.
And one, I hope you got some rest. Ready to go.
Yeah, well, I haven't been reading as much. So, yes, the evenings are pretty quiet.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good. And the ground is pretty frozen up at your place.
It's still frozen, even with this warm weather.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had many people say, oh, isn't this warm weather? Aren't you scared? And I says, well, it is the midwinter thaw. Which always happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it's warmer than usual.
Yeah, it's pretty warm.
Yeah, but the ground's still frozen.
Yeah, and with snow not being on the ground, does that make the ground freeze harder or
well,
because it's not
deeper.
Insulated? Freeze deeper. Okay,
yeah.
deeper.
Yeah.
And so you've been marking some places in your garden, pounding some rebar in there to...
Yeah, I thought I'd put light stakes in, but you couldn't get them in the ground.
Uh-huh.
So I actually took rebar and a sledgehammer.
You're working out already.
Yeah, it was how many? Eight markers.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I had the string and the straight line, so I might as well take care of it.
All right. Well, we'll get to that in a minute as we move mm-hmm. through what you've been working on. And if anybody out there wants to share what they did over the winter and maybe what you're thinking about mm-hmm. for the spring, because there's a lot of activity. There's a little bit of a buzz going on.
Yeah.
Some events that are going to be happening and all kinds of good stuff. So we'll be chatting about that. And we are just a half an hour right now in our slow season. So we'll be on till 6:30 tonight. So you want to get your call in now.
Mm-hmm.
527-486-8866. KVNF now. So one of your big projects was you were digging out some stumps.
Yeah. Stumps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were these trees that you cut down last summer or a long time ago? Or tell us about
that. I cut them down 2 years ago and resprouted. And one of the things that happens when you're hopefully thinking that they're going to resprout and that sprout's going to grow, well, they're really weak coming off the sides of the trunks and the wind just rips them off.
Oh, sure.
And then it resprouts again. And two of them were apple trees and weakened from that hard frost we had 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, that they, when trees are weak or any plant is weak, they get sick. And these got fire blight. So I just said, I'm just taking them out.
Yeah.
And
not messing with that.
I've taken out stumps for 40 years. They're not as hard and difficult. As long as they're not huge.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are 8 to 10 inch. And
so let's start, because you always have a method for your madness.
So
what's your method for digging out stumps?
So start digging out 2 feet from the trunk and do a circle all the way around.
Okay.
And dig down until you get the first row of big roots.
Because
mm-hmm. the roots go lateral. There's rarely a, what is that, taproot. Taproots are on weeds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Trees, because they're so tall, they need it lateral. So when it blows, it doesn't pull them off or break that taproot off.
Sure.
So I use an axe. I have a designated axe that I use in the soil.
Okay.
And I chop them off. It's wide enough so I can dig down another layer, another round. And after the second round, there might be one or two roots coming from the underside, and those are the hard ones. And the thing is, they're probably only about an inch
mm-hmm.
or so.
So you're out there 2 feet around the stump,
mm-hmm.
and then you get down there and you axe those, chop those
yep.
roots off with an axe, go down again,
mm-hmm.
and then that's going to loosen the stump up. It's not going to be held into the ground anymore.
Yeah, as much. And you can wiggle it, and you can tell where those roots are underneath.
So you know where to...
You know where to be. And if you can't wiggle it, hit it with a sledgehammer. You'll find it.
Right.
You know, and I've done all this. And sometimes you get one that just doesn't want to go. I put my come-along jack onto another tree or a fence post or
uh-huh.
something, and I actually jack it out.
Come along.
I actually get it bent over, and then I can take the axe underneath it.
Okay.
So there are definitely ways to do it. If you get a truck mm-hmm. or a vehicle and just put the jack on the side or put a rope on that and mm-hmm. pull it so that you can pull it enough to get that one. You know, my garden, you can't get anything in it. The gate's 4 feet.
Yeah, you're not going to be driving your truck in there.
No.
How big were these stumps that you needed the jack for?
I'm trying to think, about 8 to 10 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mainly because there's a root that's right under the very middle that doesn't want to come out.
Right,
And stuff. But you'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And did you just then fill those holes back up with dirt or?
I just, rake the holes right back up and it's all clean. That's just me.
Uh-huh.
I don't like a mess.
Yeah.
So you can tell where those holes are, but because I raked all the dirt right back in there. But I took all the big chunks of root out. And when you're going to take out a tree, Stump, this other thing is, don't cut it level with the ground because you need something to push against. Mm-hmm. So these were 18 inches high. So after I got them out of the ground, I took the chainsaw to them and I got firewood. And then I took just a cluster of roots out.
Okay. Yeah. And did you do this before the ground was really hard?
Yeah, or? I did this in late fall. Okay. And I didn't work. I'd work on it 30 minutes or so and then go do something else and come back the next day.
Yeah, that's kind of your style to sort of pick at it.
And for some reason, they were easy. Even though it doesn't, you know, for me, it was easy. They were, I've had much harder time with other ones.
So smooth removal.
I found a few big rocks that I didn't know were there. And but
you had quite a bit of rocks on your property when you came to it. When was that? In the late 70s, early 80s?
I'm trying to think. When did we bought that property, my mother and I, in 1979.
Okay.
And the garden got started in 1987.
Okay.
So,
you had to clear out quite a bit of
rocks. There was rocks. There was some shrubs, you know, native shrubs and stuff. And there was also one very large Rocky Mountain juniper. And I left it there for the longest time. But they don't like to be watered. And, you know, so it was dying in the garden. So it went. The stump's still there. I cut that. That's one I did cut off right at ground level.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I've seen some stumps in the park recently that they're just cut right to the smooth with the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then was the your hedge grove something that you planted right away? Because you have a big hedge grove surrounding the garden.
No, the first thing I did after 2 years of no fence, I put a fence up.
Okay.
And wait a minute. You know, I did plant that hedge grove before the fence was up.
Yeah.
And then the deer finally found me, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And stuff. And that's when the fence went up. Okay. And then I went, because the hedge grove grew so much, I actually moved the fence.
It's that spacing thing.
Yes, exactly. I didn't give it enough space. So I actually moved it out 2 more feet. Mm-hmm. And I took 3 years to do that.
Oh, wow.
I didn't do it all at once.
Yeah, that's a smart idea.
Yeah, I did it three years. It took me 3 years.
Yeah.
All new posts, and it's all juniper posts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I
it's
like
all
that.
No steel posts on that. It's all juniper posts.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something to be thinking about as you think of what you're going to be putting in this spring, is just that spacing and how the big the tree is going to grow.
Yeah. And if you have a choice, put it on the north side.
The hedge grove or the?
The trees.
The trees?
Trees and stuff because they shade.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Simple as that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes you think, oh, I just need this, you know, kind of create a natural fencing kind of thing. But trees grow faster than you think will.
Yeah.
And that's going to fill in quickly for you.
Yeah. It's you know, I've been in many places. Actually, this was an old family that homesteaded, or that family's been here for over 100 years on Hanson Mesa.
Nice.
And I worked for, her name was Barbara Ensley, and she lived in the house that she grew up in on Hanson Mesa.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And I was working for her, and we were taking down a huge old box elder maple type tree.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was planted when she was a child. So it's 70, 75 years old. And she says, do you realize that we had 12 of these trees? Now the only one is left because they got so big.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is a good size yard.
Uh-huh.
And they only, actually at the end, they only needed one.
Wow. For shade. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So be careful.
Yeah, don't overpopulate with trees. Well, and that kind of goes to the tiers of your garden, you know, the understory and all of that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about that as we go through the year. And speaking of your hedge grove, you've pruned it over the winter as
I've already pruned it, pruned, thinned, and that's just to keep it back from growing into the garden more, and also the choke cherries I thin.
Okay.
And you can let me know if you want choke cherries for bean poles and trellises, because I probably got 50 to 100.
Oh, wow. A lot
still
of wood.
Left. Yeah.
Great.
So I have it, and some are perfectly straight. They're all up to 10 feet, 11 feet long, and they start at 1 inch and go to quarter inch, half inch. And some are nicely curved, and they're sort of fun. You can play with it.
Okay. So someone could, if you're interested in that, you could email us at worm@kvnf.org. And we've got our friend Don on the line tonight. Okay. So great. Welcome, Don.
Hi, Jill. Is my signal coming through?
It is now. Yeah. We're strong and clear. How are you?
I'm great. Great to hear you back on the air this season.
Well, nice to have you join us tonight. What's been happening with you?
Well, more of the same. I took the last composting lesson from last year. It was more of a year and a half compost where you build it up and let the fungi and the myceliums grow in there. But it seems that things are going to change for me this season.
Oh, in what way? I'm
likely to have a new location, so I can't really get started yet.
No, you're fine, though. We got a few months.
I had to chime in because you don't have any callers yet, and for heaven's sake. What seems to be my best bet, being so mobile, the best results I had last season were with my redwood planter boxes covered with screen to keep the grasshoppers out.
Okay, that's probably good for this year as well.
Yeah, anytime, I guess, yeah.
And are you going to a different property, Don, or are you changing things up on your current property?
Well, my existing landlord is likely to sell. And so I'm hopeful to find a replacement, a new property, a new location for myself. And in any case, I'm not going to be doing much in the ground.
No.
And a couple years of improvements I've done here, I'm really happy with that. And I might have to leave it behind. But yeah, relocating and trying to figure out, am I going to have water? Am I going to have sunlight? Am I going to have neighbors?
Yeah.
And the like. The list is long of variables.
Okay. So if you happen to get a chance of knowing where you're going in the near future, take your compost with you.
Absolutely.
I very much would like to, if that is possible. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like exciting possibilities.
Yeah,
a lot of work. Very happy to follow your advice whenever you give it to me. And I just wanted to chime in. Trees of heaven. Jill, you suggested a couple years ago that you might drive by this ghost town place I live in and see an oasis. And it slowly became that for me. I was thinking it would happen overnight, and it did not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still look every time I drive by, Don, to see where is it? What might it be? And I know you left it in better shape than you found it.
Yeah.
So that's a good steward.
Yeah, thank you. That kind of is the purpose, my intent.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you calling tonight and kicking off the season with us. And we look forward to hearing about your new adventure and what's going to happen.
Yeah, really.
Well, I look forward to diving into it, and I hope to be able to check in with more questions later on in the season. Thank you, Jill.
Okay, thank you, Don. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Good luck.
See ya.
Okay, good night.
Good
Bye-bye.
Night.
Bye.
All right. That's a lot of work, and I'm sure he'll...
Mm-hmm. Moving.
Yeah, but that's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, what...
You got to change.
Change things up. Yeah, and we have a question from Nancy, and this is a good topic. Since it's so hot, is it okay to water her dwarf lilacs along the south brick wall of the house.
That's actually my, one of the topics is, it's been dry enough. So, yes, water them.
Okay.
And I don't know if it really needs to be a deep watering.
Mm-hmm.
And any new planting that you did last fall was trees, shrubs, bulbs, you can water them.
Yeah, and you're putting gray water out right now.
I'm doing the gray waters on some young fruit trees that I planted bare root last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Nancy is over the tracks from me, and I saw her in the park this morning.
Oh,
and
okay.
She's getting ready to thinking about her garden and what she's going to plant. And she went over to our fellow worm, Amber, and saw some of her infrastructure for keeping the grasshoppers off.
Okay.
You know, like Don with the planter boxes and the screen. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably a good idea.
But just do some watering. It doesn't have to be deep, long watering. Just get some moisture in there.
Right. All right. Great. Thank you, Don and Nancy, for checking in with us. 970-527-4868-866 KVNF now. And we're rolling right along as we squeeze into the half hour. And I just want to give you some dates to put on the calendar, because there is a lot of stuff that's happening and new people moving to the valley, and looking forward to everybody connecting with KVNF and As the Worm Turns and just other farmers in the area.
Yeah.
So coming up, I think our earliest thing we've got going here is on February 20th, which is a Thursday. There's an event happening at the Paonia Public Library, Every Home a Homestead. And this is an invitation to an informal gathering of local eco growers excited about the season ahead. And there's going to be three short presentation and time to connect with and share food and habitat-focused urban stewardship, with more meetings that will be possible. So that starts at 6:15 and will run till 8:30. So that sounds like a good party.
Mm-hmm.
And come early so that everybody can start on time. And that is Thursday, February 20th, right here in Paonia at the library. Also coming up is March 6th, and we'll give you these dates and information again. But up at the Western Colorado Research Center up there on Rogers Mesa, they're having a apple pruning workshop, and that's happening March 6th from 1 to 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So another date for your calendar. March 16th.
Yeah.
Seed swap. Yeah.
There at the hearth.
At the hearth. That is a fun event.
Mm-hmm.
Packed full of people and their seed and a good
time. A lot of people have seeds on tables, and then people are walking around with their thing. Here, try this, try that.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're looking for localized, acclimated seeds, that is a great place.
And there's some rare stuff being handed out, too.
Sure. Yeah. And you can meet local farmers, local gardeners there as well. And this one's out in the summer, but this is always one of the special events, and that's your garden tour. And when is that happening?
August 4th.
August 4th.
It's a tour, but it's actually, the topic is planting fall vegetables, and we will be planting.
Oh, great.
I'll have everything ready, and I'll have the seeds out, and we will be planting August 4th.
Okay, fun. August 4th. I'm going to mark that down. And looks like we're having a little bit of problems with the phones, but Skip gave us a call and says congratulations on our 12th year, if you can believe that, and needs advice on rebuilding a completely destroyed garden by puppies. They had just put in a really great perennial garden and found a dog up in the mountains, and the dog was pregnant, and I think they had 9 or 10 puppies.
9 puppies. So. Now they have 3, but still 3.
Completely destroyed garden.
Yep.
So did you see their garden before?
No. But
that's a great perennials.
Yeah, it's just a matter of cleanup. And, you know, people ask me how I keep the dog out of the garden, and I close the gate. So you might have to put like a 12-inch or 18-inch chicken wire around it.
Around it, yeah.
Yeah. And it's simple as that.
They know no boundaries.
Yeah. Now, luckily, my dog grew up with it, and he doesn't even step in the dirt. You know, he stays
him well.
He stays on the grass pathways, and you know, right now it's dirt, and he knows nothing in there. If the ball goes in there, well, you know, not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've kind of let my dogs run wild, and then I'm just gonna go with some wild pathways. Let them.
Yeah.
You know, tromp it down, mm-hmm. and then that's what it'll be.
Yeah.
So thank you, Skip, for the congrats, and thanks for taking care of those puppies, too. That's an awesome thing you did.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. We've got about just a couple minutes, so one of the things you wanted to remind people about is to get their tools sharpened.
Yeah, it's pruning season, mm-hmm. and the first thing you do is get those pruners, saws, that hopefully you don't have to use a chainsaw, but get things sharpened.
Yeah.
And stuff. And it makes it so much easier. You know, and you can keep them lightly sharp. You know, if you've done a lot, you can keep them going. You know, so I have 3 pairs of big loppers. That's the big guys. And I have 4 hand pruners. And I have 3 saws. So if something gets dull, I just go to the next one.
Right.
And then the other thing is... A spray bottle of alcohol that mm-hmm. disinfect your pruners, you know, at least through every tree finish, do it. And if it's diseased, it's every cut.
And we're going to start talking a little bit about pruning next week already.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. And you already did the prune hedge. You pruned the prune hedge.
The hedge grove.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about fruit trees.
And grapevines, which mm-hmm. isn't until April, but grapevines. Yeah.
And speaking of grapevines, you rebuild or you're in the process of rebuilding mm-hmm. your grape trellis.
Yeah. I'm doing something different this year is the trellises, since I'm using willows or choke cherries, they mm-hmm. sag and they get old and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I cut the grapevines down, not the whole way, halfway. And then I, just this afternoon, took all the trellises off and stuff. Cut wire, nails, mm-hmm. you know, whatever was there. And what I did, though, last spring, is I set aside the choke cherries that I wanted for... trellis, because I knew I was going to do this.
Right.
And I wired them together and let them dry out this Ooh. Way. So, because normally in the past I put up the trellises when the wood's still green. Mm-hmm. So it bends and warps way more. And so this year we'll see how long it lasts because I let them cure or dry out.
Right. In the shape that you,
yeah.
that
and
you
I,
want.
And so I'll be able to start putting those up now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to our callers tonight. And, you want to mention your new YouTube video up there from Stefano's.
Yeah, we have a new one. This was, Stefano came up every 2 weeks the entire summer season. Mm-hmm. And he's finally got this edited down. I've only seen clips of it. It looks really good. It's called 40-Year Homesteader. Shares his gardening throughout the season. So there you go.
Wow.
You got
a whole
season.
Yeah, that's some. We could binge watch that for sure.
And it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. A little bit every night.
Yeah.
So that's just search that 40-Year Homesteader on YouTube, mm-hmm. and that'd be great to see how your garden transitions throughout.
We start in March and ended when I was filling up the trench, the storage trench.
Okay.
And there's actually one section in the beginning, I went through all of my gardening tools.
Oh, that's probably a good thing to look at right now as we get started in the season.
Went through all the gardening tools.
So. Okay. Well, and howdy to our partner Lulu, who's over the hill skiing still, and will join us at some point here. But great to be back, and great to have you listening, and thanks to the callers. It's How on Earth coming up next, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Yeah. Sounds great.
Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Have a good evening.
You're about to make a sign to, I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.